This year we've been studying through the Old Testament, looking at the history of Israel, and we've been particularly focusing in on the cultural backgrounds, the things that give the context of Scripture, and really fleshing out that meaning. And when we've been studying this, we've repeatedly noted two things. First, that God brought Israel out of Egypt. But his work then after that is to continue to bring Egypt out of Israel. And the second thing that we've noticed is that their story is... Okay, that was all right. We cannot think that Israel faces problems and patterns of sin that we ourselves do not struggle with today. Their history is to be an instructive example for us as we walk with the Lord today. Today, though, we're going to fast forward and go through a bunch of Israel's history after they've conquered the Promised Land, which we'll get to soon with Brian, and beyond the period of the judges, even after their first kings, David and Solomon. And the kingdom of Israel then splits into two nations. And eventually the northern half, which is completely walking away from the Lord, it's overtaken, it goes into exile. But then the southern half will soon face the same threat. The people of God are about to be sent back into captivity because of their sin, because they did not walk with God, but instead they chose to worship the things of the world. So bringing Israel out of captivity of Egypt, from Egypt, that's been a picture of salvation. That's what the similarity that Brian has been drawing is. Coming out of Egypt is our salvation. But note this, sending Israel back into captivity is not taking away their salvation. It is God's chastisement for his children when they do not listen to his voice. And so today, we're going to be in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah the prophet stands at the end of this period when the southern kingdom is about to fall. They're about to go into exile. It's already been prophesied. Isaiah has told King Hezekiah that all the gold, all the riches of Israel will very soon be carried into Babylon. But before this happens, Isaiah gives the people of God a warning. He calls them out on their sin. He calls them out, and he offers them a warning to turn back to God. He says, "Turn from your sin, cast away your idols. Know that God is the Lord, and there is no other like him." Their story is our story. So if you would please open with me to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46. This is the message that the Lord spoke to Israel through Isaiah, and this is the message that he speaks to us today. Bel bows down, and Nebo stoops. Their idols are on beasts and livestock. These things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. They stoop. They bow down together. They cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob. All the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, I will carry and will save. To whom then will you liken me and make me equal, and compare me that we may be alike? Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh out silver in the scales hire a goldsmith, and he makes it into a god. Then they fall down and worship. They lift it to their shoulders. They carry it. They set it in its place, and it stands there. It cannot move from its place. If one cries to it, it does not answer, nor save him from his trouble. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country, I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn of heart. You who are far from righteousness, I bring near my righteousness. It is not far off. And my salvation will not delay. I will put salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. This is the word of the Lord. In this chapter, Isaiah tells Israel that the burden of carrying your idols is alleviated when we recognize the holiness of God, cast away our idols, and turn back to the Lord. Let me say that again. This is the message that the Lord is trying to get at. This is the heart of this chapter. The burden, the weight that we take upon ourselves, that we have on our shoulders, this burden of carrying idols is alleviated when we recognize the holiness of God, cast away our idols, and turn back to the Lord. This verse comes out in the first 7 verses. These verses teach us that God is the one who carries us and saves us, not the idols that we carry with us. So verses 1 and 2 speak of Bel and Nebo. These are the two head deities that the ancient Babylonians worshipped. Bel was the god of the sun, and Nebo was Bel's son. These are the two most powerful gods in all of Babylon. And we see here that they're bowing down. They're stooping low. They can't even stand on their own, let alone carry whatever burden the Israelites thought that they could save them from. They can't provide for the Israelites. Rather, these gods need to be carried by weary beasts. The donkeys or the camels that the Israelites would take with them, these statues, these idols that are made of heavy material, they're made of gold and silver and wood, they're just consigned to these beasts, and it's a burden, not only for the Israelites, but also for their animals. We carry these idols around thinking that they can save us, but they just end up being a burden to us. The burden that we think our false gods will deliver us from is actually just made heavier by them. But this is not true of the Lord. The Lord says, in contrast to that, he says, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob." Now, we aren't Israel, but the Lord does still carry us. He says, from before your birth, from the womb, and then all the way to your old age, from the start of life to the end, it is the Lord that carries us. It's not just him who takes us out of Egypt and then lets us on our own to walk. As we grow and mature in this life, we are always carried by the Lord. He is the one who makes us, and he is the one who bears us. He is the one who carries us, and he is the one who will save us and has saved us. So already we see a difference between the idols that we so often carry with us and the one true God. See, the idols, we think that they can save us from our burdens. We go to them and we think, man, this is going to make me feel good. This is going to give me exactly what I want. This is going to give me the peace and the joy I'm looking for. But really, it just adds extra weight onto our shoulders. And we end up carrying our idols. They're dependent on us. They can't save us from our burden. But the Lord doesn't just carry our burden. He carries us. See, if the Lord were just to remove our burden and then leave us to walk on our own, we would probably find something else to weigh us down. So the Lord doesn't just take our burdens from us. He carries us for the entirety of our lives. He never leaves us alone. So already, we see this stark contrast between the false gods and the one true God. So if we see this contrast, who then would we compare God to? And this is the question that God asks us in verses 5 through 7. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? See, what the Israelites would do is they would take these earthly materials, and they were very costly, gold and silver, and then they would fashion them into an image, a statue of some sort. Often it was a bull or a tree or a sun or whatever it was. They had these images, and those were their gods. That's what they would worship. But to do that is to say that God is equal to those things. To make an image of a bull is to say that God is equal to a bull. Can you just imagine the insult that is to God? That the creator of the universe would be compared to one of the most stubborn, stupid creatures that he created. Or to anything. It's an insult to God. And oh, the conceit that we have to compare him and make him equal to those things. How proud and foolish must we be to think that we can make the God who carries us look like whatever we want him to. To think that we can make God in our image when he is the one who made us in his image. God made us and carries us. He delivers us. And we think that we can compare him to some created thing. We make the Creator out to be equal with his creation. And this is not the case. He is wholly other. We have the audacity to tell God that he needs us to move. Remember that the idols were dependent on the Israelites to be moved anywhere. These idols couldn't do anything on their own. And we say that God is the same, that he can't do anything on his own, that he's dependent on us when we make him out to be an idol. How foolish and sad and slanderous this is. Now, you may think that we're safe because we don't carry around statues with us today, but our idols just look different. They're still here. Consider this. Where do you spend most of your time, energy, resources, and talents? What most occupies your thoughts? Where do you turn to for comfort? On what do you rely to bring you peace? In whom do you place your trust? If anyone or anything comes before God for any of these answers, any of these questions, it is an idol. So your idol might be yourself. You may think, man, if I can just make myself the best person that I can be, if I'm just smart enough, if I'm just athletic enough, if I just work hard enough, then I'll be all right. Or your idol may be your job. You may think, everything will be all right if I can just get enough money. It could be a relationship. If I could just be with this person, everything else would fall into place. It would all be all right. I would finally be satisfied. It could be a position of power or material possessions. But whatever it is, when we chase after these things as the means of our salvation, the means of lessening our burden, we make those out to be equal with God. And that is an insult to God. And it's foolishness for us. Because the burden of carrying our idols is only alleviated when we recognize the holiness of God, cast away our idols, and turn back to the Lord. There is only God can save us from our burdens, and there is no one like him. That is the next point that he hammers home in verses 8 through 11. If there was still question that God is high above everything else and we can't compare him to anything, he removes all doubt in these next verses. He calls us first to remember. Remember that your idols can't save you. Remember that they just wear you down. You've all experienced it. We've all experienced it. We run to something other than God, and then after we've done so, we just feel guilty. And we feel just as weighted down, if not more. Remember that they can't save you, and remember that God can. History is important. God tells Israel to remember the past because his track record with them is perfect. He tells us to remember our history because God is the one that ordained it. If Israel were to look back at all that God had done, what would they have seen? They would have seen his promises made and his promises fulfilled. They would have looked at Abraham, how God called Abraham and he gave him children just as he had promised. How he protected Isaac amidst the great famine. How after 400 long years of slavery in Egypt, the Lord brought them out just as he said he would. Despite Israel's faithless forgetfulness, God remained faithful and he delivered them and he was true to his word. If Israel would just look back and remember their history, they would see God's powerful faithfulness and they would see the inadequacy of their own idols. God is ruler over history. He is the one who declares the end from the beginning and he is the one who makes it so. His word and his power are to be trusted and remembered. And the Lord also uses this opportunity to tell them a new prophecy, because he's already told Israel that they're going into Babylon. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. But then in verse 11, he says this about calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country, because God has not forgotten his promises to David and to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would have Israel remain in the promised land forever. He has not forgotten those promises. So though he's sending them into exile for a time, this prophecy in verse 11 is about King Cyrus, who is the one that would issue a decree allowing Israel to go out of captivity and back into the promised land. So even as he's getting ready to discipline his children, he's reminding them that he remains true to his word, and they will be delivered one day and go back to their land. Therefore, Israel must remember. Remember that he is God alone, and there is no one like him. And we must remember this too. We are to learn from their example. One of my favorite pictures of the need to remember comes from Joshua 3 and 4. Israel is just getting ready to come into the promised land. They're crossing the Jordan River, and after God miraculously stops the river so that they can walk across, he tells Joshua to take stones from the bed of the river and to put them up as a sign. Now just think about that for a minute. These aren't just regular rocks. These are rocks that are a sign and symbol of what God has done. Normally these rocks would have been completely inaccessible to Israel, but because of God's power and his might and his love and his faithfulness to Israel, they're able to take these stones and set them up as a reminder. And this is what the Lord says. He says, "Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' then you shall say to them, 'Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off.' So these stones shall be a memorial to the sons of Israel forever." We need our own memorial stones. We need our own stones of remembrance. A stone of remembrance is something you come back to often in order to remind yourself of the faithfulness of the Lord and the way he has worked in your life. Maybe it's the day that you were saved. Maybe you remember it well. It was with your family or with friends, or maybe on the side of a street with some stranger that you didn't know who was proclaiming the gospel to you. Or maybe it was the day that you were delivered from an addiction. Could have been the day that the Lord healed you when you should have been dead. Or the day that you got an anonymous check in the mail when you had a bill you didn't know how you were going to pay. Make note of these stones, write them down, and stick them up as reminders. Come back to them often, because we too need to remember. We must remind ourselves of God's faithfulness and foreknowledge in order to turn back to him. We must remember that there is nothing that we can make that compares to God. We must remember that the burden of carrying our idols is alleviated only when we recognize the holiness of God, cast away our idols, and turn back to the Lord. Remember who God is. Remember what he has done. Turn away from your idols and go back to him. And so we come now to the last two verses. The Lord says, "Listen to me, you stubborn of heart, you who are far from righteousness. I will bring near my righteousness. It is not far off, and my salvation will not delay. I put salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory." This is the last thing the Lord says to us. Listen up, you stubborn people. Open your ears and listen. Stop being distracted. Stop paying attention to the noise of the world. Stop paying attention to the idols that don't speak. Pay attention to the God who does have a voice. He says that he brings near his righteousness, and his salvation is not far off. Though we are a stubborn people, far from righteousness, God has brought us salvation. In his holy city of Jerusalem, he brought us our salvation, Jesus. Jesus is our salvation. The burden of carrying our idols is alleviated when we recognize the holiness of God, cast away our idols, and turn back to the Lord. God demonstrates his holiness to us above false gods as he is the one who carries us and saves us. Our idols can't do anything for us. They have no power, but God does. There is none like him. He shows his authority as he is the author of history, and he calls us to remember our history and the history of the people of God to see his faithfulness to them. And he shows his power as he sends us salvation. He alone is God, not the idols that we carry with us. So today, as you hear his voice, cast away your idols. Are you not tired? Are you not weary and worn out from carrying around these weights? Idols are just dead weight that cannot give what they promise. Cast them aside and return to the Lord. And I want to draw our attention back to the context of this chapter. This isn't a message to Israel when they're just out of Egypt. This is a message hundreds of years later, well into their traveling with the Lord, when they should have been done with idols as soon as they came out of Egypt. Shouldn't the signs of God's power in the 10 plagues been enough to show them that he is the one true God, not these idols that the world worships? But they still carried these idols with them, and they picked up new ones along the way. After years and years and years of seeing God's faithfulness, they still kept them. What idols have you been carrying with you ever since you were delivered? What new ones have you picked up along the way? God has delivered you from the bondage of these idols, so cast them away. Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And in Hebrews 12, we are told to lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Be free from your idols today. Cast them away. The burden of carrying our idols is alleviated when we recognize the holiness of God, cast away our idols, and turn back to the Lord. Turn back to him today.